Let's start by taking a look at prevalence or the frequency. We can look at prevalence over 3 months, 6 months, or 1 year period, or even a lifetime. Typically, in the children's mental health arena, we talk about prevalence in a 6 month time period. For example, we'd observe the number of children or adolescents with a diagnosable mental disorder for the last 6 months. Now, how do we define something as a case? The Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, DSM, presented by the American Psychiatric Association can be used. It's in its fifth version and lists different diagnoses and the criteria for meeting the definition. Some people have taken the criteria and translated them into measurement instruments, instruction, and diagnostic interviews. Individuals or family members may be asked about the presence of symptoms and if there are enough symptoms present to meet the criteria. For example, if a person meets the criteria of an anxiety disorder, depression, or an attention deficit disorder, then they're considered to have it. In epidemiological research, to determine prevalence in children's mental health, we use diagnostic interviews, sometimes objective and psychometric instruments, but typically diagnostic interviews of young people and family members and professionals to establish whether there's enough symptoms present to meet the criteria of a diagnosis. If a diagnosis is present, we define somebody as a case, meaning they have a diagnosable mental disorder. We visit the child, parent, and professional in some combination. This can get tricky because it's very common for a 14-year-old to report different symptoms than a parent may report. A 14-year-old may feel more depressed or anxious than the parent is aware of. On the other hand, the parent may be more alarmed at the child's behavior of talking back, staying out late, or getting into arguments and fights than the child is. So the child may report more of what we think of as internalizing symptoms, and the parent would report more different kinds of symptoms. Professionals do that as well. So many times we don't always have agreement. Often we don't have agreement about symptoms unless they are rather frequent and pretty extreme. So what do we listen to? There are different approaches to the research. Some researchers with adolescents from ages 9 or above say that youngsters should be the ones that we listen to. Others say we should listen to the parents, particularly for young kids. Others think we should either require that both of them agree or at least one agrees with the professional. Recognize that the prevalence rate is going to be much higher if we say it is a case, if it meets criteria either from the interview with the child or the interview with the parent. Then it will be a situation that requires concurrence or agreement between the child and the parent. For example, if we require both the child and the parent to report sufficient symptoms to meet the definition of depression, there will be fewer cases of depression than if we require just the child, the parent, or the professional. So that's a very important methodological issue. And as you read research on the epidemiology of childhood mental disorders, it's important to recognize that. With adults, the research goes directly to the adults. But with children and adolescents, we tend to look at both. How do we conduct research to establish prevalence? The standard approach to this type of research is to do what's called community surveys, in which we identify random probability samples in a community or multiple communities. We'd have to identify that sample, solicit their participation, and conduct the diagnostic interviews. Then, structured diagnostic interviews by trained interviewers would be conducted with the sample. There have been some studies that use multiple sites because there may be something particular about a community in Oklahoma that isn't the case with a community in California or Michigan. So the best research with the most valid responses would probably come from research that looked at multiple sites or by pulling together the findings of separate studies in different communities. If the findings from those separate studies in different communities are consistent, and if they use different instruments and they're consistent, then that gives us more confidence in the results.